Hi, everybody. This is Louie from Technically Journalism. It's been a while since I've done an Audio Boo podcast, so I wanted to get on and talk a little bit about one particular thing, I guess. I did a post on my blog now, it feels like a couple weeks ago, on how, you know, if 9/11 or something similar to 9/11 were to happen now, something that major, a major catastrophic news event, if that were to happen now, how differently media outlets would cover it, right? I mean, just off the technology alone, it'd be a completely different set of coverages. It'd be a completely different presentation online, mobile, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, you know, streaming video. Everything that we do now on a pretty regular basis we'd be doing for 9/11. And if you think back to 9/11, when it happened, none of that stuff was around. Twitter wasn't around, Facebook, Google, I think, was around. But Facebook, Twitter, YouTube wasn't around. Smartphones obviously weren't around. So now none of that was there. When that happened, nobody had to go and scour through social media sites to try to find pictures or witness accounts, or, you know, you didn't have to go to Foursquare to see if anybody checked in sometime before that or any of that stuff. There was none of that going around. Now, of course, there is. It's everywhere. It takes over the world. So that got me thinking about, so I did that post on the website, and it's up there if you want to go see. Just Google Technically Journalism. And it got me thinking about me personally, like on a personal level, how technology has changed or would change something I may have covered in the past, and how, you know, if that were to happen now, how I would cover that. And one of the bigger things, you know, that in my reporting career that I personally had to front line cover as opposed to edit was at the time it was a pretty big deal. Now it's not a big deal, but at the time, when I was down in another part of the state, down there in Yuma, we had a Border Patrol agent. I was covering the border for Yuma and for the Mexican side and the American side. And there was a Border Patrol agent who went missing into the Colorado River there. The Colorado River runs right along the, in that part of the state at least, runs right along the California-Arizona border, and at least pretty close to it, and then definitely runs into Mexico. So it's kind of like a weird California-Arizona border, that, and then also just streams into Mexico. So at that part of that river, there's a lot of crossing, because a part of it also to the, I guess, I don't know, the one part on the other side of the river there from Arizona, it also goes into Mexico. So Mexico creates kind of L dog shape, a dog leg left or whatever, at that river. So there's a good part of that river that borders Mexico as well. So there's a lot of illegal crossings as a result. There's tons of crossings through the river. It's a pretty quick entry into the states from that part of Mexico. It's a very small part, but it's like a strip. So Border Patrol agents are always there, right? They always patrol that area, and it was a pretty active area for them. And one night, I was happening to be on vacation, and an agent went missing into the river. Just literally went missing. He went in their river to help a group of, I believe they were Chinese nationals, if I remember the story right. He helped one of the females, get out of the river, pulled her out, went back in, and then just disappeared. If I remember correctly, this was some years ago now, the Border Patrol was able to save the rest of the Chinese nationals, but they never did find their agent, at least not that night. So I got a call, and I was in San Diego at the time, which is a couple hours away from Yuma, Arizona, a few hours actually. I got a call from a source that said we lost the agent in the river, so cut my vacation short and started driving to Yuma to try to pick up the story. Got back in time, got some rest, and went back in the next day to the morning. And what we perceived to be a three-day, pretty much around-the-clock search for the agent that ended late Friday night, ended really late Friday night, 7, 8 o'clock at night. And when they found him, I was the only member of the media there, which was kind of cool. You know, now that's kind of unheard of. And this was, you know, 2002-ish, 2003 maybe, probably 2003. So websites, obviously news websites had been around for a few years there, but there was nowhere near the push to get stuff online there is now. So as a result, I was able to sit there and think about my story, and I dictated my story word for word, the entire structure, got it into the print, and I was the only one. We were the only ones the next day for that news cycle. We were absolutely the only media outlet anywhere to report that he had been found, and that the FBI was then taking over the investigation. Local TV that night had reported he was still missing. The Associated Press was covering it, but not really at the front lines. They were just calling in to get information. They didn't have that he had been found till the next day, and I think they ended up just picking up my story. So we had the next morning all across that little cover there that the agent had been found. We might actually even had a sidebar. I can't remember now. So, you know, overall, that was a pretty cool deal news-wise. It was a tragic event for the community, but it was a good news event story to cover. And, you know, we did it pretty well, actually. I put 3 days at the scene, never left, really, except to go home for the night, and dictated the stories into the newsroom. It was kind of cool. And, you know, looking back now, we did really good. But looking back, if that were to happen now, the amount of tweeting and Facebooking and photos, cell phone photos and streaming video, you know, video interviews and the amount of just social and multimedia that would be coming out of that scene would be significant. And my job would be completely different, completely altered from that. Not too long ago, you know, less than 10 years ago, I would have sat there and had time to think about the story, talk to my editor a couple times throughout the day, get updates and then come into the office or just sit there and dictate the story. But go into the office and write the story, write one version of the story, and have it get posted to online whenever it got posted as part of the news cycle. There was absolutely not a push for online at that point. Nobody said, you know, we got to get something online. And when they found him, I called my bosses and we had the ethical discussion of are we sure it's him and that whole deal. And once we were confident it was him, then it just became a matter of getting into the print product. We never really talked about, you know, the website and getting something online and having a different story for readers and having a slideshow. None of those conversations that were happening. We just got into the paper and then it got to online as part of the regular process. Now, I'm not saying I prefer those days. I'm just saying it's a different scene now. So when we go out there now to these things, to these events, you know, it's not always 9/11. Some of the smaller events, news events that we cover in our own communities all the time on a daily basis, breaking news, you know, of all kinds. Now, the first thought is online, obviously. The first, very first thought is get something online immediately, be it a couple paragraphs. Then from there, if it's a big enough event, we start looking for witnesses. And we'll sometimes put one or two people to focus entirely on just that. You know, go to Facebook and go to Twitter and go to MySpace and go to all these standard social media sites now where people post their lives for everybody to see and where we can then go find contacts. And oftentimes, obviously, we're not even looking for the people involved. We're looking for friends of the people involved and acquaintances and family members. And it's kind of another way to kind of back in through social media to get the sources. But it's changed entirely how we cover breaking news. It's completely altered the speed of how we cover it, the depth of how we cover it, and even just the techniques of how we cover it. If somebody now who covered 9/11 then, and you know, and in New York at Ground Zero, and if they had to do it, and if they stopped, left the world, and came back now, and were to do it again, it would be entirely unrecognizable to them to how we do it now. And it's kind of cool on one hand because it's not even 10 years later, right? Well, it's 9 years later, and the entire landscape has changed. The entire news coverage landscape has changed. 10 years from now, God knows what it's going to be like, what we're going to be doing. And it's kind of a cool thing when you think about it. If you go back and look at, if you're a journalist, news events you've covered, you know, anywhere from 5 to 8 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, and think about how differently you would cover that same event now, only entirely because of social media and because of mobile phones and smartphones and that evolution. I think it's a pretty exciting time. And do you think about from here, if you've recently had to cover a big piece of breaking news, how differently that same piece of breaking news would be covered 10 years from now? It's just, it's unfathomable. You can't really think about it. I can't conceive it, which is why we're journalists and not, you know, the founder of Apple. So it's pretty cool. It's a cool thing, breaking news from that context of technology and how we cover it now. But God knows 10 years from now, it's going to be pretty cool. I mean, we're all going to be doing, not even tablets probably, who knows what's going to be happening. We're going to be using our hand just to talk into our hand, like just our skin to cover stuff. It's a cool idea, though, for breaking news, and it's our responsibility and our challenge kind of to stay on top of all this and to really know what the technology is out there and how we can use it for our advantage. Because the truth is that the readers are using it all the time. We got to harness the same power that our readers are harnessing. So there it is. It's a cool deal. Breaking news, technology. 9/11 got me thinking about it, how differently that whole thing is now. And then on a personal note, several pieces of breaking news I've had to cover as a reporter, I would have covered completely differently now. And as an editor, certainly, not even 4 years ago, now would be completely different. the byproduct of that is that there's no idea, there's no sense of exclusivity anymore. There's nothing, you know, with breaking news even. It used to be back in the day, we could withhold certain pieces of information for the little online that we were doing. And even pre-Twitter and pre-Facebook and all that stuff, we could hold little bits of information because, you know, most websites weren't constantly being updated for online. It was just a quick story to say that we know, and then we'd kind of go focus on a print version. So we could hold stuff for print. We could hold certain pieces of information. Of course, I'm talking only breaking news, not enterprise or any of that stuff, just breaking news. You would hold little details. That's kind of come and gone. I mean, that's done. As soon as we know anything now, we post it online for any piece of breaking news. Because the truth is now, everybody knows everything almost at about the same time. Aside from just, you know, your own enterprise reporting within the breaking news world. So it's kind of cool. You know, social media and these smartphones and our own advancement in technology has kind of forced our hand in how we cover the news. Now we get it out there almost instantaneously and edit on the fly online sometimes. And we don't hold stuff up anymore. We don't keep stuff in our pocket for the most part for the next morning's paper for some kind of anticlimactic, you know, splash on the homepage, on the cover that fewer people are reading anyways. So it's kind of cool. I like it. I think it's kind of frightening on one level to not really know what's going to happen, where we're going to go from here. Obviously, there was far more stability in the 60s and 70s and all that. Technology's changed, but nowhere near as much. So I think it's cool. It's cool. It's scary to see 10 years from now where we're going to be. Are we still going to be doing... Am I still going to be doing this? You know, I'd be surprised if I was still a journalist 10 years from now. So technology is advancing. News coverage is certainly evolving. And God forbid if another 9/11 were to happen, our coverage would be completely different at pretty much every turn when it comes to digital distribution. So that's it. Hope you guys are doing well. It's been a while since I've gone on this thing. I'll do it a lot more. I got a couple posts coming for the site that I think are going to be really interesting. I got off the phone with a couple companies today, actually, do some interviews. So hopefully things are moving well. You guys take care. I got to go home. Bye.